Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program that features interviews with some of the best, brightest, and who I consider to be the most creative people in the world. Now, during this 30-minute program, I'll focus mainly on the turning points in their lives, the people who influenced them the most, and decisions they made that brought them success. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Excuse me. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives, and you can get more information on my techniques and methods, books and courses, and more at www.logicalsoul.com or moneymatrixmethod.com. Also, be sure to click on the follow button at blogtalkradio.com/logicalsoul to get a heads up on all our great interviews. Now, the guests were selected on this show. Excuse me, got a cough today. Let's start over. Now, the guests were selected on my show because I find their stories interesting and because they possess qualities I find rare in an individual, a passion for what they do, and a determination to see it through. Most of them have obviously made strong decisions early in life that led them to their current successes and achievements, and my goal here is interviewing them is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions and their patterns of success. And this will allow you as my listeners to maybe pick up some special nuggets that will add to your own motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen and take notes. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. Our phone number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. And if you want to get called on, simply press 1 to raise your hand. Now, with the guests also, I also go into some of the tips. I usually ask them to give us some special tip or something in the area of their expertise that will add to your knowledge base as well as your insight into who they are and what they do. Now, the guest on my show tonight has been a guest before. In fact, it's been a little over a year. His name is David Wright. He's author of the book, Get a Job, and a very interesting fellow. He's went to Georgia State University. He's a graduate. He's also very, very smart. I consider him very smart. He's got a lot of information on something I find very important, and that is online marketing, something called search engine optimization, or the ability to select certain keywords and go in and find out what are the keywords that relate to your business and how people can find you using, you know, Google or some other search engine to find your business. If you want to be found, you got to know how to optimize your business online. David Wright is one of those people who has helped people and local businesses to become more marketing savvy. And so I want to bring David on the line. Welcome, David. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you're the author of Get a Job, and we had you on the show, I guess it was a little over a year ago. And first of all, let's just get into a little bit of background about how you got started with that book and how the book's been going since then and how you got started in just doing general business marketing.
Well, I started out in college. I started as a computer science major, and this was back at a time when Pascal and COBOL were basically what computer science meant, and I found that pretty quickly that I wasn't cut out to be a programmer. So I switched over to management and discovered a passion for international business. I started studying Spanish in high school and then started studying Japanese in college. So I ended up graduating with a degree in business management focusing on international business, marketing, and Japanese. And after I graduated, packed my bags and moved to Tokyo. Lived there for about 6 years, started my career there, and that was where the seeds for the idea of the book were born. I was still employed, but I was seeing the writing on the wall of the company I was working, so I decided to start looking for a new job. And got together with some other people, and we would exchange resumes and basically just tear them apart, put them back together, and make them stronger and more powerful and more effective. And as it turns out, it was something I was really good at. The next thing I knew, people were starting to approach me for tips and advice, and one day I decided on, it basically dawned on me that I could help a lot more people than I could ever help one-on-one if I just wrote a book about it.
Right.
So a few long years later, I finally finished the book. It took me about 3 years to write it. It's a monster of a book. It's about 346 pages.
Oh, I know. I've seen that book. It's very large.
And it's been great to be able to hear these success stories of people that I've helped get better jobs, better salaries, and be able to provide a better livelihood for their family.
That's great. So you have helped quite a few people. Now, I noticed since then you've been helping a lot of businesses as well. You're helping a local car business, and you're doing some other things. Tell us a little bit about where you've gone since the book came out.
Well, the book was primarily the main thing that got me really started in search engine optimization. Being a self-published author, as I'm sure you know, a lot of the onus of marketing is on you to promote your
own
book.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of that was getting to where I can market it online, and partially through continually learning, partially through going to seminars and events and listening to teleseminars and getting on webinars and things like that and buying products and books and magazines and reading blogs and so on, I started learning a lot more and more about search engine optimization, and next thing I knew, I was very pleasantly surprised to be on a call with one of my mastermind groups, and one of the guys that was in the group pointed out that he searched in my book and found that I was number one on Yahoo for a Get a Job book. And then I pursued that even further, and now I'm number one on Yahoo, Google, and Bing for Get a Job book. And at one point, that was over 1 billion results on Yahoo.
Wow.
I started doing more and more search engine optimization and started working with a couple of select clients. And it's just really grown into a business from there.
Yeah, so you basically did it for your own book. And the book, I hope it's a bestseller, right? I mean, are you selling it on Amazon? Or what are the outlets? How are you selling the book?
Through my own website at getajobbook.com, through Amazon, MobiPocket. There's a Kindle version available. Lots of different places. I think there's probably at least 50 different websites that sell the book.
Right. Are you considered a bestseller in any category there at Amazon? Because I know Rhonda Del Baccio, one of my mentors, has talked about choosing a real small niche or category and going for that one, you know, swinging for the fences, so to speak. And sometimes you can make bestseller in a small category. Have you done that, or how have you been marketing the book?
Well, technically, I'm not a bestseller. I guess you could call me a best-ranking author since I'm on the top of the search engines. But
right.
Quite a few copies, not nearly as many as I had originally hoped it would. Mm-hmm. But then over the past year or two especially, I've really focused more and more on marketing the marketing business and still promote the book from time to time, but not nearly as aggressively as I was before.
Right.
So that hopefully my next couple of books will become bestsellers.
I can hook you up with Jason Ullman, who's had a bestseller on Amazon, and Rhonda also knows a lot about that. So we can brainstorm on that sometime. It'd be interesting.
Jason's actually a good friend of mine, and he actually early on he provided me with some good tips and advice for marketing my book. This was even before he had his brain aneurysm.
Right, he's still quite brilliant when it comes to marketing stuff. So, yeah, I wanted to ask you though, because we hang out with the same crowd, obviously, and we love the same people, so it's all good. I wanted to ask you because I'm fascinated by the marketing aspect, and I know that when I was doing search engine optimization, this was back in the early 2000s when I got into it. I built a website and started marketing a vacation rental site, and I was able to get like 8 of the top 10 spots on Google for my particular rental, which I thought was quite phenomenal. Found out since that basically I just attacked it. Well, I had some software back then to help me too, so I really attacked it basically with a vengeance, and then I sort of dropped off and forgot all about marketing for years. Now I'm sort of getting back into it because I realize, you know, there's a lot of those things I just took for granted, and I was too dumb to know that I couldn't do it, and I just went out and did it.
Right.
And now I'm finding out that I'm so much smarter, but I'm not doing the same stuff I used to do. So it's an interesting
goes a long way. You don't necessarily have to know everything about something in order to overwhelm it with your persistence.
Exactly. I just find sometimes just doing something can really drive traffic, whereas if you don't do anything, even if you know all about it, it doesn't help, you know?
Exactly. I think it was Woody Allen the first said 90% of success is just showing up.
Exactly. So
showing up is crucial.
Well, I'm here on the radio program anyway, so I'm and so are you. So we're doing that. I wanted to ask you, if somebody were just starting out and they had a business, or say they had a brick and mortar business, and we're not talking about selling bricks and mortar. Somebody, I think, mentioned that joke one time where said, well, I don't have a brick and mortar business. Brick and mortar business means a business on the side of the road where you attract traffic, drive-bys, or people walking by or something like that. Somebody has a business where they're either a pet shop or flower shop, dress shop, haircut shop, whatever they sell or offer. What would be your advice to somebody like that if they wanted to market their business? How would they position themselves a little better, just with a few tips that maybe you could share with us on how to do that?
Well, a lot of it depends on what type of business they have. Are they selling to an upscale market, or are they a low price leader? Are they getting a lot of foot traffic, like a restaurant, or do they sell something to the same customer maybe once every couple of years, like a refrigerator? I guess one bit of advice that I could get to goes back to when I first got started in marketing online. Like most people who get started in marketing online, whether they're marketing their own business or just want to get started in making money in internet marketing, like most people, I was too scattered. I was trying to do it all, from selling my first book to giving career advice, resume writing, coaching, affiliate marketing, direct marketing,
dabbling
in real estate investing, an Amazon store, eBay, ClickBank, and so many other things.
Right.
Very much guilty of doing what I first heard Stephen Pierce refer to as op-hopping, hopping from opportunity to opportunity without real focus or direction. I just wanted to make money online.
Right.
And there is a lot of money being made in marketing online, but the best and most successful tend to focus on one main thing.
Right.
And for me, this turned out to be helping businesses with search engine optimization and getting targeted, ready buyers to their websites when they're ready to buy, not just to browse.
Right.
Now, I still do a lot of different types of things, but they're more focused and support specific goals, which are primarily under the search engine optimization umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot with social media, but that doesn't mean that I'm always on Facebook and Twitter. I write articles and press releases, create videos, optimize local profiles, utilize review sites, do some blogging, and do a wide variety of other things, but they all support the same objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also doing competitive intelligence to see what my clients' competitors are doing to market their businesses, and I track and analyze what's working and what doesn't, come up with ideas, test them, and repeat what works and discard what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So basically, success in search engine optimization, like success in anything, isn't any one thing done once. It's a whole lot of little things, often done repeatedly, that support an overall goal. So
right.
In SEO, for example, your first goal might be to get to page one of Google for a specific keyword phrase. Then once you're there, your new goal might be to get 2 places there, then 3, then eventually dominating the first few pages for that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And I know your listeners out there aren't all SEO experts, and many of you might not really know what SEO is, so I'll try not to get too technical and wrapped up in details that would confuse a lot of you. But I'll try to give you kind of a high-level of understanding and use some examples from different types of businesses so you can see kind of what SEO is and how it can dramatically help a business.
Yeah, well, let's break it down to the basics right now, because let's just say somebody has a business and they're going, holy cow, I have no idea what he's talking about. What would be a definition? And I was there not long ago, so trust me, I know how it is. What would be a definition of search engine optimization?
That would be optimizing the various different elements of your online presence, from your website to your social media to everything else you're doing online, to enable you to rank more highly than your competitors on the search engine results pages, so that when somebody searches for a specific term, say, for example, well, I'll get into a few examples in just a moment, but to be able to have your site show up when they're looking specifically for something that they're ready to buy.
Right. Right. So when people are ready to buy and they're typing into Google, I want flowers for Valentine's Day. Suddenly you pop up Valentine's flowers, you know, dozen roses for $9 or something like that.
Exactly.
That's what they're looking for. They're ready to buy. They've got their credit card. You've got an offer. You're number one or number three on the search engine findings. You've got a video, a link to a video or something like that. All of a sudden you've got a buyer. So search engine optimization can actually monetize your site much quicker and easier than a lot of other ways. What would be probably the single most, and you mentioned a whole bunch of things, and I want to give you a plug at the end of the show or toward the end of the show if anybody wants to hire you to come in and optimize their site or optimize their business. But in the meantime, David, what would be one of the simplest things a non-technically savvy person could do to start driving traffic to their business online?
Well, the real core of search engine optimization and search engine marketing as a whole is choosing the right keywords. And there's
okay.
lots of different tools available for this, but the first key is really to think like a customer. For example, pretty much every industry has internal terms, jargon, and acronyms that only mean something within that industry.
Mm-hmm.
For example, early in my career when I was in Tokyo, Japan, I was a broker for a shipping company, negotiating contracts between shipping, trading, and manufacturing companies around the world. And when we'd reach an agreement on the terms of a contract, we'd call it fixing a contract.
Uh-huh.
I found that when I was using this term outside the shipping industry, people would get confused and would often ask, was the contract broken?
Right.
The same thing basically applies to search engine optimization. I've worked with clients who want to rank really highly for terms that almost nobody outside their industry even uses. I've got a chiropractic client that uses a machine and technique called IDD therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's a type of spinal decompression that stretches segments of the spine apart so that the disc slides back into the proper place.
Right.
And it's great technology. I've personally benefited greatly from using it after a car wreck I was in a few years ago. But back to the marketing topic, the problem is the average person isn't going to be searching for that term because unless they've already been to a chiropractor that uses that therapy, they're probably not going to not even know what that term is, so therefore
exactly.
they're not going to pitch for it. So even
right.
if you're number one on Google, Yahoo, and Bing, it's not going to be as effective in bringing you a lot of visitors to your website. But a more broad term like spinal decompression is more widely known, and people searching for that probably have some basic knowledge of chiropractic care, so they've probably already finished doing some of the basic research and are ready to choose a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the search marketing is most effective, when you're showing up in the search engines for terms that people search for when they're ready to buy, not just browse or research.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes for products. Say you're selling printer cartridges. That's
right.
a very broad term. There's hundreds, even thousands of printer models, and they don't all use the same type of cartridge. So if you're only selling Brother printer cartridges, and I don't know what the figures are, but let's say for the sake of argument that Brother has a 10% market share. So if all you sell is Brother printer cartridges, and you invest all this time, effort, and money into ranking highly for that term, printer cartridges, then you're wasting a lot of time and money because you're targeting too broadly.
Right.
So even if you were somehow able to get 100% of the people searching for printer cartridges to come to your website, 90% of them would leave immediately because they're looking for a different brand.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a page on your website for each model of cartridge you sell, and you've optimized each page for that product that you're selling on that page, you'll be a lot more focused and will undoubtedly get better results.
Exactly.
And this definitely applies to paid search as well. So the sponsored links that you'll see at the top and to the right of the search results pages, a lot of companies try to run their own campaigns and end up using keywords that are just too broad. So they're literally throwing money away because they're not focused.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I know one of the strongest search engines you can use for people that are ready to buy, and correct me if I'm wrong, are actually product names. Where, for example, if I'm searching for a Flip Minnow camera or Flip Minnow HD camera, something like that. If I had a domain name, flipminnowhdreview.com or .net, and then my link was that, and I paid for the search term flipminnowhd, or I bid for that keyword term, that specific keyword term, chances are I'd be in good shape. If that's what I was selling and I represented that product, then optimizing for that particular product, you're going to attract a lot of people who are actually typing in that product name in Google. They're ready to buy it because they know they've done the research. They know what kind of camera it is. They know they're ready to buy it.
Right. And that's a very good point, too, with the domain name itself. A lot of people don't actually use the search box or go to Google first. A lot of times people just type in their search term or type in the words plus .com in the address bar of the browser. So if you say if you own the domain name for hdcamera.com, then people are going to be typing in, people who type in the address bar with hdcamera, they're going to go directly to your site, and that will basically bypass the first page of Google because it'll take them directly to your site.
That's a good point. That's a good point, too. So is there anything else that you could recommend to people that if they have a brick-and-mortar business, they have a flower shop, say it's Valentine's is coming up, and I want to sell a lot of roses, and what would be a good search term? I mean, Valentine's Day is probably highly competitive, things like that, roses for Valentine's, something of that nature. How would I rank for that?
Lots of different ways. As a few examples, issuing a press release. That can often get you, provided the press release is targeted and written well and optimized for the right keywords, can often get you up to the top or near the top very quickly. The good thing is that it is a very fast-acting way to get to the top.
I've heard about that, and I'm actually planning to do that myself. Press releases are excellent, from what I understand. And then you can just put
I did an experiment with about a month or so ago with my car dealership client. And I wrote two very highly optimized press releases for two specific models of cars they had in stock. And submitted each of those press releases to two different press release sites. And within 20 hours, not even a full day, within 20 hours, they had at least 30 new page one results on Google and Yahoo and Bing.
Wow, that's phenomenal. And that was just an article. That wasn't video or anything. It was just an article.
No, that was just a press release that was very highly optimized, specifically targeted for that particular car. And you can do that for a lot of different things. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that would be a headline on CNN. It would be something. Online PR is a little bit different from traditional PR.
Right.
Whereas online PR is designed to help you get the attention from the broader audience of people actually searching on the search engines. Rather than somebody just watching a specific channel.
Right. Okay. Very good point. So that's an excellent way to start driving traffic. And from what I understand, press releases are very, very fast. Like you said, it was less than one day that they got placement like that. I've also heard that Google loves news stories, and so they will give preference to news stories or news videos, things like that, over other placements. So let people know where they can reach you, David. Say I've got my flower shop and I need to hire David Wright to optimize my business for my flower shop. How could I get in touch with you and do business with you?
Well, I guess the sort of good news and the bad news is I haven't even had a chance to finish my own website for this business.
Uh-oh.
but I do have a Facebook fan page, and if you search on Facebook for W3 Group Marketing, then you'll see my my Facebook fan page, and you can connect with me personally on Facebook at facebook.com/DavidB.
Uh-huh. David B as in boy?
Yes.
Okay. David B. Wright on Facebook. Or what was the name of the group? W3 Group
actually stands for two different things. One is World Wide Web, which is obviously where the internet marketing side comes in.
Uh-huh.
And the other is win-win-win, which is the kind of situations I look to find and create. So if my customer wins and their customers win, then naturally I'll win too.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of doing business in general.
Well, that's fascinating. Any other tips that you want to give people about how to promote their business or how to build a web presence? We've got a few more minutes here, so it's all yours.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess one thing, as an internet marketing business, especially doing so much with local businesses, I need to know the needs of each client and why their clients would buy from them instead of their competitors. So one of the first things that a new client for me is a detailed spreadsheet asking them for a bunch of information about their business, and this helps me get started quickly and effectively so that I can really help them the best. So what I'm getting at here is understand what it is about your business that customers would want. Are you targeting the higher end of the market, or are you out to be the low-price leader? What sort of transaction volume do you do? Say you're a remodeler. Do you specialize just in kitchen remodeling, or do you also do bathrooms, basements, home theaters, decks, and so on? Do you mostly sell to other businesses or to retail customers? If there's frequent but smaller purchases, then there's one approach. If you only sell to a customer once a year or once every couple of years, or even less frequently, then there's a different approach. If you sell candy bars or refrigerators. And another thing is the fairly new emergence of location-based social networks. If you get a lot of foot traffic in your business, such as retail or restaurants or bars and so on, you can probably benefit greatly from leveraging Foursquare and GoWalla and some of these other location-based social networks. Even Facebook's gotten into the game with Facebook Places, and Yelp has Yelp Local, so you can actually check into places when you're actually physically there. And a lot of savvy business owners offer specials or discounts or coupons or even free stuff just for checking in and being there. Or with Foursquare, for example, the person who checks in the most during a two-month period becomes the mayor. And some businesses will give the mayor, say, a free drink or a free appetizer, or, you know, the sky's the limit. It could be anything that makes sense for your business.
It's fascinating stuff, David. I tell you, there's so much meat in that. I mean, there's so much information that you're giving out that each of those topics we could probably spend a couple of shows on by themselves, I'm sure. So get in touch with David Wright. He's on Facebook, David B. Wright, or the W3 Group, and let him know what your needs are, and he'll help you out. We've got a few more minutes. Let me do a quick promo, David, and if the music comes up, then hang on, that we can talk a little bit after the music for those that are listening on podcast. And for those that are listening live, if you're calling in, you can listen after the music. If you're listening on the internet, then I'm sorry, you'll have to wait for the podcast. But at any rate, the promo, a little bit of a promo for next week's show. Next week's show is quite unique. We're going to have Dr. John Gray. Actually, I was scheduled to have him last month. I booked him. His assistant got sick with the flu. We got a little bit of a mix-up going on. I was unable to have him on the show, so we're going to have him back for a special one-hour show next week. That is the day after Valentine's Day. That will be February the 15th. And John Gray, as you know, is the international expert on relationships. He wrote the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. He's going to be talking about men from Mars, Men Are From Venus on Valentine's Day. We're going to do a special Valentine's show that night, so don't miss it. It's going to be a special call-in show. The number is area code 347-843-4544, and you can tune in and you can call up and talk to Dr. John Gray. It's going to be a very special event, so don't miss that show, and I look forward to having you. We've got a few more minutes here. We've got David Wright on the and we've got 90 seconds. We've got David Wright on the other end today, and he's answering questions on search engine optimization, how to market your small business or yourself, if you're looking for a job, if you're looking to market yourself even. This optimization also works for that, wouldn't it, David?
Absolutely. I actually coined the term resume engine optimization, which is basically optimizing your resume so that it gets found by recruiters searching for candidates for particular positions they've got open.
Wow.
Using all the same techniques, but geared specifically towards having yourself and your resume come up when recruiters are searching.
Hold on to that thought. I think the music is about to come up here, and I didn't want to lose you. But I wanted to get a little bit more in detail on that, David, if you'll hang on for just a few minutes. Meanwhile, we're coming up to the end time here. This is the end of the show. I'm Dr. Michael Craig. Thanks. It was a pleasure. So, David, we're back. This is called the Outtake Moment, and I get to talk a little bit more with you. That's fascinating. So you've actually coined a term called resume optimization.
Resume
tell me a little bit more about
that. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm sure most job seekers, the first thing they do once they get the resume ready is they'll post it on Monster and Yahoo, Hot Jobs, and all the other different major job search sites.
Right.
And also a lot of the niche job boards. But these days, recruiters are so overwhelmed by so many candidates. We've got around 10% unemployment across the country, and we've got people that are, all they're doing is submitting resumes to the major job boards, and they're hoping that somebody's going to find them. But the problem is the competition is so stiff that the odds are they're not going to show up unless they've really optimized their resume so that it will show up when recruiters search for specific search strings.
Right.
And a lot of really savvy recruiters are very skilled in what's called Boolean search. They use specific search strings to pull very targeted results based on job titles, experience, location, and lots of other things. And if your resume doesn't reflect what they're looking for, it's not even going to show up, and you're not even going to get the chance to interview for the job, let alone shine in the interview.
Makes sense, yeah. Yeah, so optimizing a resume would be optimizing on sites like Monster, or how do you optimize a resume?
Well,
or you just do the resume when you post it with those keywords in mind? Or
that's part of it. Another part of it would be when they're searching Google and so on. A lot of recruiters are searching Google and Yahoo and searching Facebook and social networks. And if you don't have the right experience listed or the right skills listed, then you're not going to show up even if you've got those skills. So one suggestion I would have is if you don't already have the domain name for your own name, go ahead and buy that and put up a simple WordPress blog or a Blogger blog or something like that pointing to that domain name and have your resume available there.
Right, good point.
And WordPress is free. Blogger is free to use. There are paid versions as well, and there is a little bit of a learning curve, but it's pretty user-friendly to be able to figure out the basics of getting something up and running. And unless you're an actual web designer or internet marketer, the site doesn't have to be world-class to be able to show up.
Well, I would imagine unless you're a web designer by trade and you're looking for a job as a web designer, the actual website itself, if somebody's looking for somebody to hire with a particular skill, chances are they're not going to count your website, you know, whether it's flashy or not, whether that makes any difference.
It's mostly plain vanilla, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, they're looking for information. They're looking for your experience. They're looking for your skills. They're not looking for, you know, the type of website you have. As I said, unless you're a website designer, in which case it better look pretty good. So.
Exactly. But the key is to get that target position title. I guess step back a second. First of all, you need to decide what it is that you want. A lot of job seekers are looking for any position that somebody will hire them to do. That's within their basic range of experience. But hiring companies are usually looking for people that know what they want to do, and specifically that have the experience that fits in exactly with their job description. So one tip is to search on Google for your target title and the word job description, and collect, you know, say 10, 20 different job descriptions, and list them all out and show and keep track of which terms, which experience, which phrases show up the most often. And those phrases are going to be most likely to be pretty important to pretty much any company who's looking to hire in that position.
That's an excellent point. So basically you can either search on Google or you can use a Google keyword search tool, something like that. Keyword search tool, I think is what it's called. And find out the job positions that are searched for most often and find out if your resume reflects any of those and go with the highest ones. I never thought of that. That's a great idea. That is absolutely a great idea.
And then you can also take the same thing and search on the job title plus resume and find resumes that actually have that job title listed in them, and you can see how other people have worded their experience on their resumes so that you can then take the best of the best and incorporate that into your own resume so that your resume becomes more powerful and more effective.
It's amazing. It's like Google tells all. For those that are willing to do a little research, I tell you, the world is literally your oyster. I mean, there's so much information out there.
Right, and it's like, basically basic competitive intelligence. I mean, just like a company
exactly.
would utilize competitive intelligence tactics to find out how their competitors are marketing online, you're doing the same thing as a job seeker to find out how other job seekers are marketing themselves so that you can utilize the best of the best and position yourself to come out on top.
That's great. Well, David, it's been fascinating. I really enjoyed talking with you. I've learned something today. So thank you for
Thanks
sharing.
Thanks very much. I'm excited to be here, too. I mean, John Gray, Jason Oman, I mean, I'm in great company here. I'm really honored to be here.
Well, don't sell yourself short, my friend. You've got a lot to offer. And I appreciate you being on the show, and thanks for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge, and look forward to having you back.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay. Listen, take care, and thank everyone else for joining us, and join us next week. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
(Clears throat)